physical body. And I tell you, looking at yourself sideways in the mirror at times can be a frightful thing. Amen? I mean, if you're slim, it's all right, but when you're not slim, you know. And so looking at your financial state, it's like looking into the mirror. Say, dang, am I spending that much? Do I owe that much? And let me tell you something. Kingdom kids, you may be dismissed. Those who belong to the kingdom kids, you may be dismissed. But taking a real hard look at where you stand is the first step in getting better. Amen? Too often we try to avoid the realities of where we're at. And so I encourage you I've got access to an electronic file for a budget. If you want that, you can email me. That you can start looking at yourself in the mirror and knowing what areas I should make certain adjustments in. Amen? Those of you who are familiar with math, there is a tool if you took geometry, and that tool was called a protractor. You guys remember that protractor? Yeah, you know, it had a little half circle on it, right? Spread out 180 degrees, basically, right? And what I tell men and women is this. We're not talking about making wholesale changes, not talking about trying to, you know, change the whole world in a month. But if you were to make a 1 degree change over a period of time, you would notice in about 6 months you would not be headed in that direction you were headed in. Right? Just a small, everyone say small change. Just a small change, right? Over a long period of time. And so we're looking at maybe I can pay a few extra dollars a month on one bill. Right? Over a period of time, that bill will go away. Amen? And so when we're talking about looking at yourself and looking at a budget, just remember, make a small change. Amen? When you make looking at making changes on your diet. We just came off of that Daniel fast, right? Make a small change. Maybe I won't eat bread today. Is that too big of a change? Oh, too big. Maybe I won't eat bread today, right? I'm just going to make some small changes, and if I do that over a long period of time, I'll begin to see the difference. Everyone say amen. So make these changes. Part two, we were talking about how should I give? I've got to give with this right attitude. I got to have a right attitude, right? I got to be willing to give. I got to have a right attitude. Today, again, I'm going to part four, and it's talking about what to give. At the bottom of your notes, if you have your notes with you in your bulletin, in the bottom of your note there is a verse from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. Again, it's the bottom of your note. And I got a portion of this verse here. Luke chapter 6 verse 30. Do you have your notes with you? So let's read this together, shall we? You ready? Give, and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yeah. This verse here speaks to more than just money. It is a biblical and kingdom truth. See, when we started this sermon series a few weeks ago, as I said in week two, we were talking about the right attitude when I give. Okay? So when I give with the right attitude, this verse comes into effect. When I give with the right attitude, then this verse comes into effect, okay? Whatever you give for the kingdom purpose will be given back to you, pressed down and shaken together. And then there are three points I want to make with you today, and then we will let you guys go. But point number one is taking care of business must include giving God my time. Number two is taking care of business must include giving God my talent. And then point number three, taking care of business must include giving God my tithe. Now, giving God my time means this. My schedule will reflect the importance of kingdom work. My schedule will reflect the importance of kingdom work. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 2 through 4, I believe. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. Sanballat and Geshem sent word to me, saying, "Come, let us hang out, let us meet together at Seraphim in the plain of Ono." But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them. Now watch this. Nehemiah is busy doing kingdom work. You know what he's doing? He's rebuilding this wall for the kingdom. All right? So he's busy working for the kingdom. And these two guys sent word for him to come on down. Let's have a meeting. And so I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should I stop while I leave to come down to meet with you?" They sent the word to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same way. See, when I look at my schedule, I should see items that reflect the advancing of God's kingdom. All of us have a certain amount of time in each day, and that's 24 hours. We only got 24 hours. We have to work. Amen? We have to sleep. And we have to eat. Our work takes up about 10 hours in our day. We've got 8 hours of work, and we've got to travel probably 2 hours each day for a lot of us. So it takes up about 10 hours a day. Our sleep takes up about 8 hours a day for most of us. And then our time to eat takes up about 2 hours a day. Do you know what that is? That's 20 hours right there. That's 20 hours right there from working, sleeping, and eating. Which leaves us, which I always call disposable time, about 4 hours. Now, some of you who own your own business or whatever, you have to adjust that. You may work more than 8 hours. But on average, we have 4 hours left. So we must then look at that time and decide, what amount am I going to set aside for kingdom work? I've got 4 hours of disposable time. What amount of that time am I going to set aside for kingdom work? If I'm going to take care of business, I must give God my time. Now, some of us, not us here, but some people have this attitude that says, "I don't have time for the Lord." You'll never say it verbally, but your actions and your schedule will say this: "I don't have time for the Lord." You see, Nehemiah shared this. Listen, I don't have time for this because I'm taking care of God's work. It's not that I don't have time for the Lord. I don't have time for this. Now, listen, in this situation, the men who were trying to take Nehemiah away from the work were his enemies. But in some cases, sometimes it's our friends. And they don't mean any harm. They don't mean any harm. Here's an example. You're in college. And you're studying for an exam. And your friends say, "Come on, let's go out." They don't mean any harm. But you know, I need to stay at home and study for this upcoming exam. And so you have to tell them, "I don't have time for this." Even though what you're saying may be fun and it may be enjoyable, "I don't have time for this." When my focus, when my energy is on giving God my time, on advancing his kingdom, I must be willing to say to other people, "I can't do those things with you. Because I'm allocating this time for the Lord." If I'm going to take care of business, God, I must give God my tithe. Now watch this. Now, not just any time, but we need to give God our best time. Amen? Listen, how many of you, don't raise your hand. Some of us give God the very last bit of our day. Don't just look straight at me. And if you're like that, you're not giving God your best. You're giving God what's left over. Not your best. I propose to you today that if we want to take care of business, that we begin to give God our time, and not just any time, but our best time. Amen? It's not in your notes here, but I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10. Have it say amen. It says here from the Amplified, it says, not forsaking our meeting together. The Amplified says, as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. You see, what he's saying here is, make sure you make time for the gathering. If I'm going to take care of business, I got to give God my time. And I got to make sure that I make time for the gathering. Because in the gathering, you receive instruction. In the gathering, you receive encouragement. In the gatherings, you receive an opportunity to be of service while you're in the gathering. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we give God our time. And remember, time is our most precious resource. Because we can make more money. We can buy other items, but listen, once that time is gone, it's gone. So what better place to give time to than things of God that will have eternal significance? Amen? So if I get God my time, my schedule is going to reflect kingdom work. Amen? Also, if I give God my time, I'm going to realize that his business is more important than my business. His business is way more important than my business. Go with me to Luke chapter 2 in verse 49. Luke chapter 2 in verse 49. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. And again, I will read it from the Amplified. Verse 49. And the situation here is Jesus is a young man. He went to Jerusalem with his family for the yearly trek there. And so they left. They're going back home, and they can't find him. And so they search for a number of days, and then they finally find him back in Jerusalem in the temple. And so we're going to pick it up here in verse 49. Verse 48 tells us that they were saying, well, why did you do this to you? Why did you leave? What's going on, Jesus? And he answered and said, why did you have to look for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? What he meant is, I've got to take care of my Father's business. His business is more important than my business. All right? His business has eternal value. Oftentimes, our business only lasts for this season that we're in. And if you look back at your life, there are certain things you got into that when you look at it, you say, man, why did I spend my time in that? Why was I even dealing with that? Have you ever had conversations with people on the phone, and then you got off the phone, and you realize, why did I spend so much time on the phone with them? Huh? Glory to God. Or you're sitting at home, and you're watching a show, right? And that show turned into another show, which turned into what? Another show. Which would do what? Turn into another show. Amen? And next thing you know, you've been there a few hours. His business is more important than my business. And he has called us to take care of his business. And so if I'm going to take care of business, I must give God my time. I must put my time into taking care of his business. Now go with me now to Luke chapter 19, verse 13. Luke chapter 19, verse 13. See, our focus must be on taking care of our Father's business. In Luke chapter 19, he shares a story that we need to consider for our own lives. Luke chapter 19, and then let's look at verse 13. 19 and verse 13. And so he gives this parable of the king who has a number of servants. He is the king, we are the servants. And verse 13 says, so he called 10 of his servants, tell your neighbor he's calling me, and he gave them 10 minas, one apiece, each equal to about 100 days' wages. And Amplified says this, and said to them, do business with this until I return. Other versions will say, occupy until I return. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you this amount to use. I need you to take care of my business while I'm gone. So I need you to invest your time and your effort and your energy and take care of this business while I'm gone. He's telling all of us, listen, I've given you certain things, certain resources. Amen. I want you to take care of business while I'm gone. That means I got to give him my time. I got to give him my time. I can no longer afford to waste so much time. And I can use it for kingdom purposes. Let me move on to the next one because it ties together. Giving God my talents means I will identify my special God-given talent. A talent is a special ability that allows someone to do something well. Everyone in this building has been given a special ability that allows you to do something well. Well, how will I know what my talents are? Well, you start off by trying something. You start off by trying something. You see, too often we are paralyzed in our minds because we can't figure out what we're called to do. And so we do nothing. And we sit and we wait till we believe we will receive some revelation, some vision, some dream. No, you have to start off, you got to do something. You got to try something. You may not be good at it, but you got to try something. He's not here today, but James Strode, he enjoys cooking. And so he joined up with this feeding program we have at the Christian Help Center because he enjoys cooking. Sister Velma enjoys praying. So what does she do? She starts being a part of the prayer team, all right? You got to start doing something. Well, I don't know what my talents are. Try something. Amen? Some years ago, I had the crazy notion, myself and Brother Ken Finthian and Brother Osby, we had the crazy notion that we were going to join the choir with Sister Gwen. Let me drink a little water. We tried it, and we realized, you know, we ain't got no talent in this. We ain't got no talent. They said, get these guys a bucket. That's the only way we could carry it, too. We were willing to try, all right? In Exodus, there's a verse, it's in your notes, where God had given this certain guy gifts and talents to work with steel and iron and gold. Sometimes you don't know at the beginning what you're good at, so you have to try something. Amen? But trying something always involves risk. Because, listen, as far as humans, we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to fail. And so instead of failing or being embarrassed. We just won't try. We'll just sit and we'll listen. Our answer would be this: I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. 5 years later, I'm just waiting on the Lord, man, to direct me. You have to try something. Everyone has been given gifts and talents. Everyone has been given a mina, 100 days worth of wages. All of us have been given something. The key for us is to try something. It may not be singing. It may not be praying. Maybe you're a great letter writer, and you can write letters of encouragement to people. Maybe you've got this fantastic smile, and you can be situated at the back door smiling when folks come in. Maybe you're good at going and visiting the people in the hospital. I don't know. But all of us have been given a talent. And we can no longer sit on it. We can no longer blame God, stating that I'm waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. You're scared or you're lazy. Amen? You're scared or you're lazy. Matthew chapter 14. And I threw this in there. I think it's appropriate. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And I want to look at verse 22. Yeah, starting with verse 22. It says, immediately he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, this is around 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Now watch this, verse 28. Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you in the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter, it says here, Peter got of the boat. Here, we all have gifts and talents that God has placed in us. Amen? And at some point in time, even though there's fear, there's waves, I don't know if I can really do it or not, at some point in time, all of us have to step out of the boat. Amen? Now, according to the Bible, he only got a few steps. Right? And he began to sink. But what he experienced was way more than what the 11 experienced. Amen? They stayed in the boat, safe, cool. I ain't getting out there. No. I'm good. But Peter had the courage. Listen, if you're going to experience God, if you're going to take care of God's business, you must exhibit courage, be willing to take a risk, to step out and get in front. Amen? To step out and do something different. It's scary, yes. And the devil will speak to your mind and try to paralyze you, say, "No, you can't do that. You don't know if you can or not." But till you try. You may try and fail. We failed miserably at singing. Kim was worse than me. At least I could carry one in the bucket. He could carry one in the bucket. But we got out of the boat. We took a risk. We realized it wasn't our gifting, it wasn't our talent, but we tried. If you're going to take care of God's business, you got to try. You can no longer stay in the security of your do-nothing and allow others to do everything, you must step out of the boat. Try something. It may not work. All right, listen, there's nothing wrong with failure. I tried. It didn't work. How many here know how to bake or cook? Listen, at one point in time, you burn up food. Amen? The cake was mushy. Amen? You messed it up. The food wasn't no good. But listen, you kept trying. And at some point in time, you got pretty decent at it. So listen to this. Having talent does not mean you're going to be famous. Because you're a great cook doesn't mean you're going to be on the Food Network. Amen? You may never get famous. It's not about that. It's about doing God's work, taking care of his business, using the talents God has given to you to advance his kingdom. You can no longer sit and be still. He said, occupy till I come. This occupy, this new business means to increase till I come. Increase till I come. Reach more and more people till I come. This church has to increase. It has to increase. It has to reach more and more people. It's dependent on all of us. Every talent is needed. Every talent is required. Get up, come out, and do the work of God. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Giving God my talent means I will use my special talent for the advancement of God's kingdom. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, and verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. Verse 3 says this, For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself. Okay, then he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith. For just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not have all the same function or special use, so we who are many are one body, an individual part, one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them. I'll say it again. Each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. If you have the gift or talent of service, then do it in the act of service. Okay, if you have the act or the gift of teaching, then teach. Each one of us has it. I must take my talent and my gift, and I must use it for the advancement of the kingdom. And then you may say this, well, why do I have to belong to a church to do it? I can do this on my own. And you're right. And you may say this, that I don't need the church. That's what I'm going. I don't need the church. But you have a gift. Okay. Right. All of us. But we need you. Listen to me. You may say, I don't need the church. We can argue that. But if you have gifts and talents, the church needs you. Alright? If you're gonna go to a potluck or going to a potluck, right? You gotta bring your pot. Amen? And if you've been told, you know, we're waiting on Walter to bring the potato salad. Amen? And we got everything there on the table. And we're ready to eat. And there's no potato salad. And Walter has it at home with a spoon. Amen? And so he's enjoying his potato salad. Amen? But the rest of us, we're going without. You hear what I'm saying? And so you may say, I don't need the church. We can argue that, but the church needs you and your talent and your gifts. Whatever God has given to you, he expects you to use it for his kingdom work. Give God your talents. Don't hold back what God has given to you. I will use my special talents for the advancement of God's kingdom. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use these special talents to advance the kingdom of God. There's a parable we won't go to. Let me share with you. This king, this landowner, he goes away on a trip, and he gives a certain amount of giftings or talents to a number of people. There were three, in fact. And he gave five talents or giftings to one, and he gave, I think it was two or three, to another one. And then this other cat, he gave one. Amen? And so the Bible says the guy went away, and while he was gone, the servant did what they did, and he came back to get an account of what's going on. The guy who had five talents, you know what he did? He used those five talents. Amen? And gained five more. And the guy who had, I think it was two, three, he doubled his. And then the last guy who had a talent, he had a gift. He says to his master, listen, I know that you are tough and I didn't want to be foolish with it, and so I hid it. And here it is. And the master said, listen to this. To the people who do not use the talent or gifting God gives you, this is what the master, who really represents the Lord, is saying. He said to them, you wicked servant. When you've been given talents and giftings that God requires you to invest in the kingdom, and because of fear or laziness, you do not use them in the advancement of God's kingdom, God says you're wicked, slothful, lazy. You're not cute. You're not being wise. You're slothful, you're lazy, and you're wicked. We said this. You should at least put it in the bank. You should at least try to do something. Even if it didn't work, you tried to do something. So the challenge for all of us, if we're going to take care of business, we have to identify what we're good at, which means I got to try a number of things. I got to try a number. Maybe I'm not a great cook. Maybe I'm not a great singer. Maybe I am a great, I'm being facetious, toilet bowl washer. I'll be facetious, right? I'm a great toilet bowl washer. No, it's not facetious. Because watch this. Listen. You don't notice really a clean bathroom until you see a dirty one. Huh? You make no comment at all about a clean one. Well, that wouldn't be dirty. Glory to God. And so no matter what the talent is, God expects you to use it in his kingdom work. Amen? Cooking, cleaning, writing letters, visitation, speaking, graphics, whatever it is, God says, use it for the kingdom, not just to make money. Some of your talent that you have to make money can be used for the kingdom as well. I will use my special talents for the advancement of the kingdom. So we'll do. Final one, number three. Giving God my tithe means this. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 26. happens when we do. If you find a good investment that is making a huge return, won't you invest in it? Huh? You find a great company that has a great return, and they're doing great things for the world, for the environment. Don't you want to be a part of that? Huh? This company is changing lives and doing great work around the world. You want to be a part of that, don't you? When you give to God your tithe, it means that you take part in this worldwide evangelism that are changing lives. Because you give, Denise spoke earlier, because you give, they're able to save lives. You got to understand this. Lives are being saved, all right, that would not be saved. Huh? Lives come into being. You get to live because of what you do in your giving. We cannot keep what belongs to the Lord. We have to give it to Him and cheerfully give it to Him. And I said earlier, a few weeks ago, when there's time for an offering, and I've instructed the people to say this, to be very clear, we do not take an offering. What do? We receive it. We receive it. Because this should be done cheerfully and willingly. We do not stand up here 20 minutes trying to reach a goal. Don't strong arm you. No, we don't. It has to be willingly given. We share with you what the Bible says about it. If I'm going to take care of business, I'm going to give God my tithe. Here you go, it belongs to you anyway. I thank you for the 90%. Listen, if we become so grateful and so happy over he allows us to keep 90%, and all he asks is the 10%, woo, thank you. Amen? What if the government was that way? Woo! I only got to pay 10% in taxes? Woo! Hey, yeah. Oh! Oh! You would not cry about that 10%. Because you'd be so happy with the 90%. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not going to keep what does not belong to me. I'm going to be so thankful what he allows me to keep. Because in reality, I didn't earn it. I don't have the smarts enough to earn it. It's by God's grace. Amen? Hallelujah. God give you the grace, the talent to be able to get that job. Amen? Glory to God. I will not keep what does not belong to me. Giving my tithe means this. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. He was saying to them, watch this, the harvest is abundant. Now the Bible says that there are many who need to hear the good news about salvation. The harvest is abundant. But the workers, these those available to proclaim the message of salvation, they are few. Therefore, prayerfully ask the Lord of the harvest I look at it as an investment, even though some of you it may be. But when I put money away in my 401k, whatever it is, I look at that money as not wasted money or gone. I look at the money as an investment. And at some point in time, I'm going to get a return on that investment. Amen? When you give God his, what you're doing is you're investing in the harvest of souls. Your money turns into lives. Because you then allow others, all right, who will go out into the harvest field, right, and begin to share the gospel with men and women who do not know it. The harvest is abundant. The laborers are few. So we're going to pray and we're going to give that we might reach this harvest and be able to draw men and women into the kingdom, because it is not God's will that any should perish. Huh? So every time that offering bucket goes around and you place whatever you place in there, that's an investment in a soul whose life is going to be changed because you gave. If you want to take care of business, if you want to really take care of business, you got to take care of God's business first. You take care of God's business first, he'll take care of your business. Now, the reality is this, and we're going to close, and we're done really this soon. The reality is this. More than your money, which is really his money, what God really wants is you. What God really wants is you. He's not shallow like we are. Sometimes we want people because what they can do for us. Huh? Yeah. I'll date him or I'll date her because she got money. He got money. Amen. Huh? I'll date him or I'll date her because he or she looks so fun. Amen. See, mean as a dog. Man, she sure look good. And you put up with that craziness. So you can be seen outside with her. Huh? God's not that way. He wants you. And what you have to decide is, are you going to give him yourself? Are you going to continue to hold back? Continue to make excuses why you don't have the time to give to? Continue to make the excuses about you don't understand what your talent is, so I'll just sit here. See, to make excuses, I can't give my tithe because, you know, the churches, you know what about churches and pastors and money. I'm not going to the back and taking your money. I don't go into the back and take your money. I don't even count your money. I don't even know what you give. I know you come from places where the pastor has direct connection to the money. Not here. Amen? So when you give here, you're investing in God's kingdom. But the most important thing is, if you give yourself, everything that belongs to you will come when you give. But you got to be willing to give yourself. You got to be willing to stop holding back. Stop listening to the enemy tell you these lies about don't do it, don't commit. You know, you got this to do, you got that to do. Remember our first verse we read, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, watch this. Now watch this. After give, we're going to put time. Give time, it will be given to you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Be blessed in it today. If you give God your time, he will supernaturally enable you to get everything done you need to get done. If you give God your time, he will supernaturally enable you to get everything you need to get done when you have time left over in your day. One of the reasons you feel like you have no time left over is because you have not given God the first of your time. I dare you to give him the first of your time. He will supernaturally, you'll get things done. That report will be done. It will be done. God will do it. But you have to be willing to give yourself. Stand to your feet. John, come on up. And I want you to listen to him sing, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to make this commitment to really give yourself.